Easy. Just like the beer you've made.
Thank you. Right. Let's do it for a sunny day.
Yeah,
maybe luck, that.
Yeah.
We'll settle for dry. Thanks.
Yeah. Right then. Party started. Hello and welcome to another weekly episode of the Beer Fridge Podcast, your home of real beer, real breweries, real opinions. On this episode, we talk things west. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's right, your home of no thinking, drinking, real beer, real breweries, real opinion. The home of the Beer Fridge Podcast. As always, wherever you listen to this podcast, make sure you subscribe, hit that ding-a-ling-a-ling to be notified of all the latest episodes. Show your support by dropping us a 5-star rating. If you're watching on YouTube, do exactly the same. Right, my name is Gavin. I've got my drinking buddies in the form of Mark Callum and Gilroy. Good evening.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Good evening. Good evening. I suppose I'll introduce Sheila. It's a bit of a home episode for me, so I've got the pleasure to introduce Lucio, the head brewer of my employer as well, West. How you doing, mate?
All good. How you doing, guys?
Very good. Thank you. Looking forward to this. I want to hear all the stories about Mark being a bell end.
I don't think an episode would be long enough, to be completely honest. However, I think...
It's a unique episode in the terms of we've got the brewer that Mark works for, head brewer, on the podcast this afternoon, this evening. Dixon, I think it's probably best we start with you and understand, one, why, and two, what's going on.
Cool. Well, obviously, I try not to speak too much West because then I get called names off the other two. We're going through a annual special release program, and I know that sounds a bit dodgy, but it's probably the best way to describe Templeton collection. So the home of West Brewery is built into the Templeton building in Glasgow, so we have a seasonal release special edition sort of platform that every year Lucio and the gang have the pleasure of creating weird and wonderful breweries to still brew within Rhein-Heinsgebiet, but also try and hit different demographics that our salesmen are trying to target. And the first release of the Templeton collection is launched, well, probably today, realistically, because it was on the tap room on Friday last week. So you're talking as super released as it can get. And with the first beer on the Templeton collection, we have our Kolsch style beer. Yeah, before Lucio always corrects me that I just call it Kolsch, but because it's not been brewed in Cologne, it has to be Kolsch style. So... Kolsch style, it's our 5%, easy drinking, full-bodied lager, and crisp, dry, all the bingo words that you would look. I'm hoping everyone's got a can.
Everybody but me. No, actually, wait.
He's on the run.
Just take the opportunity while it's available to say that I've done my homework. Thanks for
you. Had one job, Lucio, one job, but no, I think he comes in.
There he is.
Hey, success.
Success.
Lucio and I have had plenty of conversations on Pilsner's, Kolsch, and Italian lagers and you name it. So I'm quite chuffed that he's joined because obviously this is the first release this year. So yeah. Lucio, just to kind of let you chime in, let me stop talking and let me take a sip of this. Tell us the kind of challenges that came about of the Kolsch style beer and run us through any facts and tasting notes that you think we should be looking for before the numbnuts here give us what they're thinking.
Not entirely sure everybody is aware what a Kolsch is, but actually Kolsch is an ale which is brewed to lager temperature. So in Köln, they have this specific strain of yeast, which is able to ferment at very low temperature, which is normally temperature that a lager yeast would work, like the Baha'i Stefaner 3470, the one that everybody used for the lager yeast. And this is why Kolsch is somehow seen as a sort of hybrid, even though it is not. It is technically just an ale, but it really reminds, because it has a lot of the, it might actually remind a lager somehow because of the crispiness, because of the hoppiness, which is quite intense, but it's technically an ale. Awesome. And so the challenge was, of course, I'm not sure also how familiar you are with the West range, but most of our products are mostly lagers. 90% of our production is purely lagers. So this is a style that was never brewed before. So, of course, and I know it sounds weird, but actually we don't really have any pilot kit. So every time that we brew a new style, the challenge is, okay, so make it a big batch, but so without having any feedback. So yeah. Of course, there's a lot
Do you find that daunting, that the fact that you just have to go in, not blind, but to a point where you just have to trust your own instincts and your own brewing experience?
Exactly. So that is the main challenge, of course. Of course, there is a lot of study involved, a lot of research that we made before brewing. It's not just, okay, let's brew it. Let's make, I don't know, 20 hectoliters of this beer we never made before. So it might be it might be a very expensive mistake.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. you can always sell it at the tap room.
Of course we can just sell it for some, like name it something else or very special at least now. That's the biggest challenge, to be honest, for us. Last releases that we made were Dunkelweizen. I don't know if you guys tried it.
Yeah, it was good.
You're gonna get me in trouble when the boss listens to this. But yeah, all the guys have tried all the West beers basically, so it's fine.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Yeah,
hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you. That's a very good feedback. And again, with the Dunkelweizen was exactly the same. So, okay, so let's make a Dunkelweizen. Oh, have you ever brewed a Dunkelweizen before? No. So...
Yeah, let's brew 3,000 liters though, mate. That's good. Thank you.
Exactly. So, let's make 3,000 liters. So, I'll never... So, of course, the challenge is trying to make a beer that was never made before. So, there's not much of a feedback. So, there's a lot of studying involved, and also what we always try to do is try to stick with tradition. So we try to brew as close as we can to what tradition is made in Germany in this specific case. So again, with the Kolsch, so there's not many styles apart from some new brewers trying to mimic it. So But I don't know. Hope you like it, guys, because at the end of the day...
It's just sweet. Please give me some taste.
Yeah, despite the warm beer. Just tasting notes. So
No. But Lucio, hold on. Before you give me the tasting notes, let's get the peanut galleries tasting notes.
And, good night, girl.
Peanut
and then we can see what. Let's
put
the
girl, right?
He's already teed it up for you, so.
Right. Okay. So. I've only had my one can so far. I've got another can to go, which I'm planning on tasting. So I would say I get a lot of the dryness.
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of the. It's very, very easy drinking. The dryness and the Moorishness is there in spades. I would say it's really light and easy to drink. It's not too, it's not too carbonated at all. It's a lovely colour, a kind of lovely straw colour that you're looking for. Very easy drinking. You don't have to think too much about it, but it does have, if you go looking for it, there's a depth of flavour there and you can start to pick it apart if you like. It does have that kind of ale-ish or ale-adjacent touch to it, but like you say, it is mindful of, or suits, I would think, somebody that drinks lager. It suits them to the ground. Uh-huh. You can tell it's got that kind of crisp and zip that you're looking for without being too complicated or too harsh. A proper lager would be a wee bit harsher than that. It's a wee bit kind of easier, a bit more relaxed to drink. Really enjoyable and easy to put away.
It's got quite a pleasing sort of fruity edge, which I quite enjoy. As I say, that kind of lends more to the ale side of things. You wouldn't really get those kind of fruity flavours in a lager. So that kind of shows that. No, I don't really want to use the word, but that kind of hybrid nature of, you know, an ale being fermented at a low temperature. But yeah, it's that kind of fruit, almost kind of spice vibes, which is really nice. Yeah, and as Scott says, it's really light and refreshing. It's delicious.
My only additive to the guys' comments is your statement on the back of the can, or the packaging, as we like to say. At the top there, top right, it says also drinkable, and it is that. It's that statement. It's no thinking drinking. It's nice and easy. It's not overly gassy. Yeah, and I mean, can wise as well. We just mentioned about the can art and stuff. The style of the can. It looks awesome, by the way, guys. It looks pretty damn good.
It looks very, very cool.
Yeah.
I take it, Mark, you were there for ages colouring these in.
You have no idea. You have no idea how long it took me to fill those cans with a permanent marker. I have no idea.
No, it's smashing. It's a really cool, and you were kind enough to give us a peek at these, obviously, and fire them along, and I'm looking forward to the whole series kind of together. I already said... These look great to you on chat or whatever, but they're tremendous. They're just stunning looking cans.
The only slight downside is that it doesn't look like all three are going to be out at the same time, which is a shame.
I know that means you've got work today, which is so I'll let you crack on. But it would be a nice wee kind of package with a tumbler or something like that would go down smashing, or just 24 cans in the right order, like I said to you. Already, Mark, about the order they should be delivered in and out of the box specifically, but that's fine. We'll get over that and we'll just enjoy them as they arrive.
And there's three beers, there's three releases planned for this series, and as I say, this is the Kolsch, and what have we got to look forward to?
Okay. Well,
get you off the top of the bonds. Come on, this is your
mom.
When you shut your eyes, you see the cans. So,
Don't you worry, I can see them. Don't you worry, I can. I think, what's coming up? The two beers to follow. We've got a summer Berliner Weiss, which I know Lucio is already cursing. I mean, I'm really looking forward to brewing, and he'll touch base. And then, sort of later in the year, we're going to do a Vienna lager as well. So nice. Pulling in kind of European flavors as well as the keeping it as close to German heritage as possible, but two styles of beer that will fit the kind of the seasons really well. That was part of the discussion with the Templeton project this year, was what beers are going to, when we're going to launch, when, what kind of beers are people drinking at that particular time, what obviously fits our traditions and the way we want to brew, as well as, you know, sticking to heritage and things, which is obviously super important to the kind of the culture within West. And from my point of view, from a sales, I wanted something that was easy sellable, that, you know, you can walk into places that is, dare I say, trendy. Yeah. But, you know, there's people that are making, you know, we spoke about cold IPAs before, we've spoke about dry hop lagers, we've spoke about things like that. So the Kolsch for me fits into that sort of ilk quite well, sticking to tradition. Summertime, obviously, we done the Radlers last year with the blood orange and the lemon. So the Berliner Weiss kind of takes it another notch forward with some different flavouring and things like that as well. And then the Vienna Lager, we're coming more into the autumn time.
Cal, I'm looking forward to that. About. I've got a recipe teed up for my next homebrew effort, and I'm going to try a Vienna. It might as well be a Vienna Pale, because making a lager's maybe a bit a step up for us or me at the minute. I'm going to try a Vienna Pale, because I had that we had a Vienna Pale from Powder Monkey a few weeks back, and it was something special. I really like the vibe that you get from the Vienna malt. I'll be looking forward to that one.
So just to kind of full circle, so now just to come back to the Kolsch, like the thing that's really jumping out to me is there's like a dryness, but like there's a slight acidity to it that makes it just moreish, that just kind of coats the side of your tongue when you're kind of going back and back, and it reminds me of like we've spoken about this before, Lucio, about the reason that you love a pilsner is that it's kind of that dry, makes you go back and back and back and back, and I think that's I think you've really hit that point on the Kolsch. The one thing I am going to mention, and I suppose this is us kind of peeling a wee layer back, is I think I prefer it when we tried it in the tank before it was fermented down, because it was a wee bit creamier and it was a modest 7.5% or something at the time. However, I know that's like shifting cans of that would be a slightly, or kegs of that would be slightly more challenging.
Mark, if you're able to sell a 7.5% unfiltered Kolsch, good shout to you. So please do.
Yeah, that's, I think you'd be quite happy.
I'd buy it.
I'd be happy. No, I agree. We were genuinely surprised how good it was when we first tried it, when it was still at the end of fermentation. It was unbelievably super juicy and so good, and the body, of course, this is a style that has to be filtered, and I'm not saying so. It's supposed to be clear and absolutely with no Easter whatsoever. So, of course, we try to stick with the style, but
absolutely.
It was unbelievable in the fermenter. It was absolutely unbelievable.
I suppose dangerous. It wasn't technically a Kolsch style that it was at that time. So it was maybe a different style of beer altogether. However, it may be one for a pilot kit once we get that organised in the brewery. We can just run a couple of cans of it off, just for maybe the staff night out or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think one thing for me with this beer and the Kolsch style, and just having a sample of the beer as well, I think it fits in potentially two avenues. People that, like we said, are largely lager drinkers, but who want to try something a little bit different, something maybe a slightly bit hoppier, but then same time for people that are really crafty, it still gives them that lager style of beer, but giving them those bits where, like Scott, you were saying, you can peel back, you can get all those flavors that you mentioned if you want to deep dive into the beer, but at the same time you can have something that's just super easy to drink, and you can just keep going back to it and back to it. And at 5%, it's a good, like you were saying, Lucio, try to shift a 7.5-7% ones is going to be relatively hard, but at 5% and 330 ml cans, and even in the bars, it's going to be I'll be surprised if it's not a winner, to be honest.
I'm looking forward to seeing it in draft, obviously, because it just got kegged on Friday, I think, if I remember correctly. So, obviously, yeah. I'm not sure at the tap every week, but I'm looking forward to like seeing it poured, you know, into the tankard, and or I don't know how they'll pour it. Maybe into the tankard, that would be quite cool. Or maybe into a stein, actually. That might be the way forward, eh? Like, we'll go big. We'll go big beer hunting with it. For me, it's just it's nice to be able to shout about some of the new stuff that we're making. We make really good beer on a regular, and like obviously with the podcast, we've got the line of No Thinking Drinking, and I think West fits into that statement really easily. Whether it's St. Mungo or if it's High Device or obviously the Dunkelweiss, and was a little bit of a more meatier beer at 6.5%, but it was still really, and without me crapping on Lucio, like I don't want it without me saying it tastes simple, because I appreciate it's not, because there's a lot of effort and that go into the background to making the beer just taste the like simple. And I think that's a testament to Lucio and the gang.
But these German styles, you know, these German style beers, we've said it so many times that yes, it's simple, but at the same time, you've not got a big, massive, juicy hop bill to hide behind. You've not got lactose to help beef up your beer. You've not got oats and all that shit that, you know, and all these things, don't get me wrong, all these things have definitely got their place, but the simple styles are the hardest to get right because there's nowhere to hide.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, if you brew it badly, it's possible to make it taste great.
Exactly.
You can't dry hop the fuck out of beer to try and a bad job brewing, you know. So
You totally got the point, because these are styles of beers that you cannot really make wrong, because there is no. I always like to say that we don't cheat. We cannot cheat.
Yeah.
So we cannot, add shit tons of hops at the end of a beer that a batch that it was no good, because it's so, and we don't add any enzymes, so we cannot add any lactose or so the beer, so probably we don't brew the fanciest beers in the world, and we definitely don't, but I think we make consistently good beers. Balanced. Of course, we don't do something extremely, something extremely hoppy or too bitter or too juicy, but it's all about balance for these types of beers at the end of the day. So there's nothing that you can cover any defects with. So if you got a beer full of Diac, it's going to smell like Diac, so you cannot cover with hops.
Exactly.
The thing is, as well, you guys have been now doing that. This is the 18th year. Wes has been kicking about producing those styles of beers, and you wouldn't be doing it for 18 years if you were doing it badly. And that's a testament to you guys pumping out good traditional style beers. And this is going to be stand beside them nice and tall, because it is a lovely cracking beer, and it is, like we said, a proper easy drinking, no thinking beer, which. Yeah,
thank you.
I think there might be some more orders. What's been the initial? Like you said, you mentioned market has been pouring at the tap over the weekend. What was the initial feedback, or have you had anything?
I haven't heard anything directly from the tap as of yet, to be fair. But I don't attempt to check in with it often. Lucio, I don't know if you've heard anything cropping down.
So far, I had very good feedbacks because people, of course, I try not to also get too much involved in, you know, in the bar, or not to sound too cheeky. Oh, how's the beer selling? Or by the way, because, you know, it's my baby. I had some direct feedbacks, and people really, especially from, you know, people so we always so they are familiar with our styles, and they loved it. and they were not expecting to be, you know, so drinkable. So that's the best feedback you can get from. Yeah. Let's see. I'll personally try it on draft, and I can tell it's a very dangerous beer.
That was when we done the discussion about it. The whole drinkability aspect of it was exactly the point we were going for. You know, yes, that exactly. It's, you know, we wanted to be traditional in style, but at the same time, we, you know, I want people buying 2, 3, 4 pints of it. I want people buying, you know, cases of it through the web shop, and I want, you know, the whole going back for more. It's not just a one can down or a one pint and then you're on to something else. It is a limited edition, so dare I say it, there isn't many kegs available. I know that for a fact. It is going to be mainly a packaged product, and we're talking about cans, so which means if you are on the web shop, it's probably the best place to get it. And I know there will be a wee cheeky beer fridge discount that will get added later once I've had that approved by Matt, who will be listening to this at this point, and will hopefully approve it afterwards. So once that's available, I will definitely share that as well. But I joke, of course. No, but that's true. But
no, you don't.
No. The thing for me is, it's just from a, when you're walking in, being able to talk about different beer and it's still at the high quality that you're used to talking about is so important. And I'm glad everybody's sort of enjoyed it, and I'm glad the feedback's been good. And I cannot wait to taste the sample runs of the next beer. And then I cannot wait to taste the Vienna's one. I'm definitely looking forward to. It's a style I love. The Berliner Weiss is a style that I don't tend to drink that often. However, having had conversations with Lucio behind the scenes, I know that it's going to be a really fun process in-house to brew the beer. And I mean, we could probably look into doing a launch podcast around the Berliner Weiss once, hopefully just before the summer starts. I'm not going to give out dates because, let's be honest,
don't tie yourself into that, son.
No chance. No chance. Are you looking forward to brewing the new beers, Lucio?
No, of course. It's always you know, it's part of the job. It's one of the funnest parts of the job. To develop new products, make the research, you know, talk with people, send emails, and try to get more information as you can, of course. Because again, we don't have a pilot kit, so
that genuinely like blows my mind. That bit that you just so how much the amount of research that you must have to do, and like you said, going back from your own brewing knowledge, just to make sure that when you make this batch, that it doesn't get wasted, and that it comes out how you want it to. Keeping to those traditional things as well, where you want it to still taste like a traditional kind of German style beer, like fucking genius.
It's a
doesn't mess around as a Lucio, does he? But the thing is, you can't. It isn't just Lucio as well. You know, no, there is
it's all the team.
It's the whole team, not totally.
It's not just me, honestly.
No, the one thing about the brewery, and you know, we've touched on this with other breweries as well, is that the way that our kit works in terms of brewing, the guys are sometimes brewing for 16 hours to meet the lager, you know, like throughout the day, because they do, and you can excuse me if I'm wrong here, Lucio, but you do 4 batches when you're doing lager.
Yes.
So, you know, 4 batches,
so yeah, we brew 120 hectoliters of beer every day, basically. Yeah. At least for 3-4 days a week. Yeah.
Well, that's 12,000 liters for the non-hectoliter.
Sorry, for the non-hectoliter, sorry.
Yeah.
Brewers speak hectoliters, yeah.
Hex, yeah.
That's mad.
each batch is, like you say, 3,000 litres a time. And then, you know, it's like the process is incredible in terms of, it moves from one stage to the other stage. As soon as it's moved, the next batch can kind of like trigger in. And
start, then, the whole consistency thing just blows my mind. You know, that you can brew the same recipe consistently with the same end result. It's just, it amazes me. You know, that I haven't done a tiny amount of brewing myself and tried the same recipe two or three times. It's really difficult. I've found
it is really difficult because, of course, every time the material, so even if the process is exactly the same, and you know, you can have a fully automated brew house or whatever you want, but the raw materials change all the time. That's the challenge. And
even if you're sourcing your malt from the same farm,
exactly.
A different harvest.
That makes a huge difference, of course. So try to make exactly the same product with different raw materials. That's the main challenge, but it's a challenge. For example, I'm really keen to accept. I like it. So the idea of try to get the process ongoing despite all the problems and make it more efficient all the time and faster and cheaper. That's a very fascinating part of the job because.
Yeah.
I might sound cheeky, but every brewer is able to brew an outstanding batch. Everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Try to replicate it. That's the challenge.
That's it.
100%. Couldn't agree more. Unlike Callum, I haven't dabbled in a little bit of brewing, but what I am good at is drinking good beer. And it's a fucking good beer, Lucio.
Oh, thank you.
Yep.
It's a fucking good beer.
Dixon,
going then, give us the speech. I'll ask you the question we ask most guests on the podcast of where they can get hold of the beer. You can take over, pal.
The honest answer is you should probably message me directly for kegs. However, I appreciate most of our audience are not going to be buying kegs on trade. So,
wee beer shop might be listening though.
Well, Niall usually picks up some of our template and stuff, so he should definitely do that. And my colleague Neil will be definitely chapping his door, no doubt, with it. But for those that are listening and that are looking to get their hands on some cans, it's westbeer.com is the website there. There will be a discount code launched via ourselves at some point, probably next week. So depending on when this goes live, it might be out. It'll be on socials and all the rest of it once it gets approved by the boss. But you know, on there's a wide variety of stuff that you should try. But I'm really, really excited with the Templeton collection. Just as I think sticking to tradition, however, also sticking with a little bit more kind of modern twists on or opening up our ranges, maybe not modern twists, but open up the range and letting Lucio kind of showcase some of his and the team, Lucio and the team, excuse me, I've said that too many times.
Honestly,
I did see Lucio walk into the tap room one time, like Conor McGregor with the swagger and that, being like, "Yep, that is my beer," you know. So,
come on,
Do you know I brewed that beer?
By the way,
And again, if you are in Glasgow or if you're in the surround central belt and you can get to Glasgow, the tap room is only like a 10-minute walk from the High Street station, or about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, if it depends how slow you stagger from Queen Street, which, and it's definitely worth a visit because the guys do tours. We do tours on Saturdays, 100%. No, I don't know if we do actually, because how busy it is. But anyway,
I don't hold yourself to that.
I don't. It's not me that does that. On a, if you're looking for a tour during the week, I could probably get involved. But other than that, but it's definitely worth it. And again, it's been nice just having a quick blather to kind of showcase the work and the new stuff. So keep your eyes peeled for socials on the Templeton collection. And Lucio, my man, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me, guys. It was a pleasure.
And we'll definitely make sure we'll do another batch. And I'm hoping to do an on-site podcast at some point once we get organized in the tap room, because it's definitely ideal space.
I'm bringing the food. I'm getting lights. I'm getting the whole shit bang.
No, Arlene and the gang will have us hooked up. It's got a big at the back, because there's plenty of space with the speakers and sound system and you name it. It's,
and a nice view on the brewery.
And it's it was a very nice view, exactly. So anyway, thanks very much. And Gav, I'll let you do your thing. If outro us.
As Mark said, visit westbeer.com, go and grab yourself some of those delicious beers and head over to the tap room, as you should do. Whenever you listen to this podcast, make sure you've subscribed and you hit that follow button. If you're watching YouTube, please do the exact same. Drop us a 5-star rating. Show your official support by heading to patreon.com/beerfridgepodcast. Your home of real beer, real breweries, real opinions. Until next time, for myself and everyone, cheerio, bye. 1